You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
When we speak of worship, many times what we think of something which is kind of soft and emotional. And I'll be honest with you, as a man, when you say worship, it doesn't really invigorate me as a natural man. As I've, before I understood the dynamics of worship, I didn't really see the worth in it. I didn't understand it. I thought it was like more the emotional thing. Let the women do that thing. You know, they lift their hand, they're going to sing, they're going to kind of cry, get a bit weepy over Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And it's all like that. And then just give me the word. I'm just keeping it real. Amen. Just look at someone and say, he's just telling the truth. And so that's how I saw it. And so sometimes worship can get a bad rap because we see worship as this thing which is soft and emotional. But I want to tell you, real worship is war. And the reason why I say that to you is that worship is always under attack. Your worship is always under attack. When you, let me just say this. You start lay aside some time and say, I'm going to start worshiping God more. I'm going to start doing something. Listen, something's going to encroach upon that time. Something's going to try to get into that time. Have you ever tried, when you start to say, yeah, I'm going to start praying more. Bam, things start going wrong. I'm going to start reading my word more. People are calling you up. I'm going to dedicate this time. The kids start going crazy, building bombs and going, doing things. I don't know what kids do, but they do crazy things. I want us to speak about how do we fight for our worship or fight for worship. I can't remember what I entitled this sermon, so whatever it says on there, it says on there, but it's something to do with that. Matthew 4 verse 8, let's go into the text. And the Bible says, and again the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. This is what the devil is saying to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Let's pray. Father, we ask you right now for your spirit. I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding. I pray this message will come across in a balanced, insightful way that would help your people, Father, to gain victory in this very important element of our life, which is worship, so that we can connect with you, be refreshed, revived, and have rest for our souls. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me start by looking at this and explaining this. This is one of the temptations where Jesus is led by the Spirit up into the wilderness, and basically he is tempted by Satan. He is tempted three times by Satan. The first time, turn stone into bread. How many remember that? Jesus says, listen, man does not live by hard old bread alone. And so he said, listen, I don't need to do that. And so I live by the word of God. And so then devil comes and lifts him up on the top of the temple and says, throw him off, throw yourself off. And Jesus says, listen, I don't need to do that. Do not tempt the Lord thy God. And this is the third temptation. And what we see is that the first thing I want to speak about is the conflict in worship. The conflict in worship. And he says, the Bible says that the devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And what the Bible is saying is that the devil takes Jesus and he shows him the best this world can offer. That's what he said. He says he shows him all of the kingdoms and their glory. And so what he saw was some glorious things. Now, before we get super spiritual here and we'll be like, oh, there's no glory in the world. The world is right. Come on, let's keep it real. There's some nice things in the world. And so imagine some of you like you went, yeah, and then you looked around. Like, no, I'm not that type of person, really. And so it would be like, so he shows him all the best the world can offer. Imagine Satan comes in a nice suit and he comes to you and he says, listen, let me take you somewhere. And he takes you to a place where he shows you all the best mansions in the world, like the best mansions. I mean, top-notch mansions. These mansions are just on a whole different level. And so he shows you all of these. He takes you on a tour around these houses, these homes. Whether your style of decor is traditional, it's this traditional, or it's modern, so it's minimalist. Doesn't matter what your style is, he shows you all of these styles. Then he starts to show you a lifestyle. And so these are the cars and the houses and this thing. And, you know, I don't know, I'm not the type of person that really knows a lot about the most expensive places to go and not to go. But imagine he takes you down Bond Street. You know, Bond Street's got some nice stuff down there. Some of you looking at me like, is it? Come on, you be honest now. You don't need to play the games. And so, listen, there's some nice stuff there. If you've been, I've been down there a few times. I just window shopping down there. You know that window shopping where you just, maybe I'll come back for that one. And so, you know when they got no prices in the window, it's like, listen, if you have to ask, it means you can't afford. So just keep moving past that type of shop. And so they got shops there with nice shoes and nice watches and nice dresses and nice suits. And he shows you all of this. And he shows you this lifestyle and all of this stuff. And then at the end, he's going to speak to you. When me and my wife had been married a year, we went on holiday to Florida. We went on holiday there. And so this is our first holiday together as a married couple. And so we went to Florida, and we didn't have much money then, and we just kind of scraped, and we went to Florida. We stayed in an average hotel. And so, you know, we're trying to save some money. And so we wanted to go to one of these theme parks there. And so when we're in the hotel, it says, if you want to pay like half price for this ticket to go to this theme park, all you've got to do is go to this tour. This guy said, listen, if you sign up for this tour, you just go to, we're going to show you this holiday resort, and then we'll give you two tickets to go to this theme park. And it was so cheap. They had knocked down all the price for this theme park. And we were like, yeah, we're up for that. We're up for that, man. And so they took us a bus, and we got there. We got a bus there, and they said, welcome, and you come in. And they started to show us all these luxury apartments. And they were nice luxury apartments. And so this is like when you book like a whole house, and it has its own swimming pool, and it just looked nice. It wasn't like billionaire nice, I'll be honest with you, but it was nice for me. We were like, oh, this is nice, yeah. Imagine if we had a holiday here. Nicer than where we're staying at the moment. And so we go around, and they show you the golf course, and they show you the food room, and everywhere with the canteen where you can eat, and it's so beautiful. And so after this, they bring you to this room at the end. They bring you to this room at the end. So I thought, I'm just going to get my tickets in the end. Where's my tickets, man? Come on, we want to go Disneyland. Let's give us our tickets. And so they sit down at this table. This room is nice. And you see different people sitting at the tables. Sit down at this table. And what they're doing is now they're going to show you the cost. And what it's called is a timeshare. Some of you know about what timeshares are. And so this is a timeshare. And so basically you're going to buy 2 weeks in the year to stay in this resort, but that 2 weeks of the year belongs to you, but they're going to charge you thousands of pounds. And I was like, thousands of pounds? It was nice. But listen, I told the guy, I ain't bought no house yet. I can't be buying no holiday house for 2 weeks. And so I was just fobbing the guy off. Listen, I just want my tickets. And so I'm there, and he's telling me this is what it's going to cost. This is what the devil does with Jesus. After he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, he sits him down and he says, listen, you can have this. This is on offer. The best the world has is on offer. And the cost is your worship. Your cost. The cost of this is your worship. He says, I will give you all of this if you fall down and worship me. He says, I will give you all of this if you will worship me. And he's saying, listen, this is on offer. And many times the devil is going to come and he's going to say to you, this is on offer. This is on offer. This is what I'm offering you. Some of you ladies here, the devil's going to say, this guy is on offer for you. Yeah, I'll give you this guy. And it's not no busted, dusty guy. Because remember, he didn't show him the shack. He showed him the glorious things of this world, the Bible says. that he will show you some stuff. Listen, this is not the, many times this is not always the temptation of the new convert, because Jesus is just about to enter his ministry. Jesus is a mature man now. This is not what the devil didn't come to Jesus when he was 12 with this. This is now you're of age. This is not the temptation of the teenager many times who's still in school. That's a different temptation. This is the temptation of now you're out of your teens. When you was a teenager, you was talking about, I'll do anything for Jesus. Yeah, because you was a kid. Now you're a man. Now you're a woman. The world is offering you some nice things. He says, if you worship me, you can have it. You know, this tells us two things we learn from this. The value of worship. Can worship be so valuable that if I will give you worship, you will give me the best this world has? That you'll swap this for that? That shows me how valuable our worship is. That so many times we don't realize how valuable this thing called worship really is. The other thing we learn from this is that worship is constantly under attack. And it's not a new thing, because you think in the Bible, if you know your Bible, the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they were under the oppression of who in Egypt? Pharaoh, Bible students. And so God raises up a deliverer to set his people free, raises up Moses. And so Moses goes into Egypt and says, Pharaoh, you got to let God's people go. God wants his people back. And this is what he tells him. He says, God has told you, you've got to let God's people go so that they can go and worship him. That's why they were freed. And that scenario is a picture or a metaphor of me and you. That the devil is Pharaoh, Egypt is the world, we are the children of Israel, Jesus is like Moses, and we've been set free to worship. He set you free so you would worship him, but the whole battle goes backward and forward because Moses don't want to let them go to worship God, because worship is always under attack. If you also know your Bibles, Bible students, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image of himself, a golden image. And then when they play the music, what do they tell them? Everybody's got to bow to this. Everybody, what do you get from everybody bowing to it? Think about it. Like, so what if people bow? Like, you know, he starts, they start playing the music. Dun, dun, tch, dun, dun, tch, dun, dun, tch. As soon as they hear that, they all start bowing. It's so funny. I can talk deep things. You're like, as soon as I make an, you're like, yeah, we want more of that. Someone was just asleep. And they went, yeah, I like this. God help me, man. God help us. But then what do they say? They say, if you don't worship, we're going to throw you in the fire. See, the devil's going to attack that worship. Listen, you don't worship me, you're going to lose out. You don't worship me, you're going to die. You don't worship me, you're going to end up alone. You don't worship me, your family's going to go without. You don't worship me, and the list goes on. See, this is how the enemy attacks us, church. He will show you and offer you things. And you got to get this. He's going to show you and offer you things. And once you've seen them and you've been offered them, you're going to look back at the kingdom of God. And he wants you to just do this. He wants you to say that the kingdom of God is now worth less value than this. That's what the enemy's fighting you for. He's going to show you some stuff, take you to some places, lift you. The Bible says that where Jesus was, he took him up at the high mountain. You know when you go up a high mountain, the altitude is different there, the oxygen's a bit thing. You could easily lose your head. Maybe that's why he took him there, he's a bit dizzy. Some people, the higher we go, we lose our head. Listen, we got to remember who we are. I gotta remember who, listen, don't matter how high you take me. I was thinking about this. Me and my wife, we're just raggedy people, really. Listen, we know who we are. God can use us, but really we're simple people. Any good that you see is because God is on us. I don't come off the stage after an amazing time where people have been delivered and saved and people are like, "Buster, that was amazing." And that was me, yeah. I don't want to lose my head. I've got to remember, listen, bro, you're just a raggedy, man. Raggedy. If it wasn't for God. See, this is where the battle is, church. When the enemy starts to show me things, and I've been in places, then I start to look back at the kingdom and I start to devalue that. I start to think, okay, let's just, God was here, but let's just put that there for a while. Let's just put it under that. That's I've seen something else now, and that starts to happen, and that's where the value, that's really what the devil says. He wants you to devalue the things of the kingdom, and he wants you to devalue yourself. He wants you to look at yourself now and be devalued. Like, listen, okay, this stuff, that's not for you. But if you bow to me, I'll give it to you. This stuff, that's not for you. That life is not for you. That's not for you. But if you give yourself to me, if you give yourself to this thing, then I'll give it to you. That's a devaluing of myself. See, I'll be honest with you. I've embraced this as I've gone through life and thought, yeah, I'm going to give myself to this. And then, but I read a scripture today. Yeah, I read the scripture once again. I've read it before, but Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, the Bible says, "Then you say in your heart, my power and my might and my hand have gained me this wealth." He says to the children of Israel, don't think that you got yourself this. And I'm telling you, if I'm honest, there's been times when I thought, yeah, because I just gave myself to this thing and I pushed and I worked and I got this. And God said, Corny, no. This is what he says. "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to gain wealth, that you may establish his covenant, which he swore with your fathers as it was in this day." And then he goes on in verse 19. "Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship." See, that's what it's all about. "And worship them. I testify again to you this day that you shall surely perish." Now think about this now. He spoke about two things, or three things. He spoke about my power and my ability, wealth, and worship. And they're connected, because the enemy will show us, listen, if you worship me, I'll give you this stuff. I'll give you this. If you give your life to this, pour yourself into this, commit yourself to this, that's the only way you're going to get it. And the Bible tells us, no, that's not the case. God says, no. You commit yourself to me, and I'll give those things to you. You know the glorious thing? The Bible says that when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gave them loads of silver and gold. See, I like that. That he not only delivered them, but he says, listen, you're not leaving here empty-handed. I'm going to hook you up. Think about it now. When the children of Israel built the tabernacle, there was a whole heap of gold and silver in that place. Do you know where that gold and silver came from? The children of Israel. You know where they got it? They got it from Egypt. See, God will provide and make sure that the riches of the unrighteous will make its way into the righteous. He will do that. He will do that, because that's in the script. That's in the word. But sometimes the devil's going to come and be like, no, you better serve me. Devalue you. You're looking at the kingdom. You're looking at church now. Church, long thing. Church, these people in church. Start looking at your calling. Calling ain't paying nobody no bills. I don't know, they talk about calling, come conference, talk about calling the calling. Call yourself. I've got to pay my rent. I mean, that's how you start to feel. Not for many years, but there was a season, I can speak about this now. I couldn't speak about this a few years ago. I was going through some stuff and I was like, listen, man, these people. And I'd come here on a Wednesday, I'd be like, Because I was hitting 40, man. And I'm like, listen, when you start hitting 40, you start thinking things. You start like, listen, man, I ain't got much longer to. And I start to feel tired. I'm getting up, my back is hurting. One time I come, my back was hurting so much. I was like, oh, I'm dying here. I'm losing my hair, my back. For what? Some of you was rebelling with me back then. We're good mates now. You're like, this guy's crazy, man. But I've been set free now. I've been set free. See, Jesus shows us how to get the victory. And so I talked about this. That was the conflict of worship. I want to talk about victory in worship. Jesus says, this is how Jesus comes back. Jesus says to him, away with you, Satan. And I love that. I want to stop there. I love that. Jesus says, away with you, Satan. Move. I love it. See, some of you need to read your Bible and understand what's happening. You think Jesus would be like, away. No, Jesus is like, move. Out of here. Gwe, Satan. Gwe, Satan. That's what he's saying. Get out my face. Some of us, we need to learn that. You need to get up in the morning and say, Satan, move. Move. If someone came in my house and someone was at the door and I let them know, hey, what are you doing here? Oh yeah, you're not going. So, move. I'd have to catch myself. Because something in you, listen, some of us, we've got physical unction, but no spiritual unction. We need to be, some of us, we've learned to be passive. We used to ruckus with people and we've learned, you can't be ruckusing with people all the time now. But the problem now is you've lost all ruckus. You need to have some spiritual ruckus in you. I don't know if you understand that word, but it just means that, listen, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to, I'm not a pushover. I cannot be bullied. There's some of you here, your husbands here. When the devil attacks your children, they're getting sick every minute. And you realize they get sick every Saturday night, just before church. You got to be saying, devil, breath. I'm not putting up with this no more. I'm not putting up with this no more. I told you guys, in the beginning of the year, I was sick for like 7 weeks. I had this flu, it wouldn't go. And I said to my wife, I can't even remember what it's like to be well. And I remember I came home one Wednesday, I said, this is enough. I can't do funk. People are like, Pastor, can you come around? I'm like, oh, God, I ain't got no energy to be visiting nobody. I said, I can't. My calendars are there. People ask me to pray. I said, this is enough. I've had enough of this sickness. It's got to go. You ask my wife. She's a witness. The next day I got up, I said, you know, I feel a bit better today. There was a. I'm diverging here, but it will make sense. Remember in the Bible, in the book of Acts, when that demon-possessed woman was following around Paul, and she kept saying, these are the words, and the Bible said for many days, and then one day he just said, listen, come out! And the Bible says the demon came out of her. And I always read that, I think, why did he allow it for days? Some of us, we got to say, no, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. But listen, you just got a bonus. That's not even my sermon. This is the point. For it is written. That's where the power is. For it is written. Some of the old school people remember, I used to say this a lot. What Jesus did here is he fights the devil with the word. Now, Jesus didn't fight the devil with like wizardry power. Like, oh, you can't. Fireball, dragon. How many know this? Some of you are like, what is that? You don't know about them combinations, man. See, this is the old school, man. Some of you new school people are all about Instagram. You don't know about the windmill and dragon punch. Are you kidding? He didn't do that. If he did that, we'd be hopeless. We'd be like, okay, we can't do that. But he just said, all Jesus fought him with was the word. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, Satan, the word tells me what to worship, not the world. You've showed me the world and thought that now, because I've seen the world, that the world would make me worship you. But I don't get my worship from the world. I get my worship from the word. And so the word tells me what to worship. It is written.
When I was a kid, I was thinking about this today. When I was a kid, you used to have these shops, and they're called fruit and veg shops. There would be a shop. How many remember that? Old school. Come on, man. Put your hand up. Somebody went, put your hand up. Be proud. You're old school. You'd have a whole shop, and then and the guy in the shop, he wouldn't have like a normal till. He'd have like a push button till you chuk-ong, chuk-ong, chuk-ong. And they wouldn't have labels. They'd have like a little written label, like a pound of oranges is that much, and a pound. Everything would be measured in like a pound of something. And what he would do is, you would go there with your mum, and you'd be standing there with a trolley. And you'd have to give, you'd wheel the trolley near the guy, and the guy would have a scale. You remember now? Yeah. You're tracking. And so he'd have a scale, and on one side of the scale would be a plate, and it'd be weights. And on the other side, there'd be like this hand, like this metal thing, and then they'd put like this metal dish. And he'd put the oranges in, and so you'd say, I want a pound of oranges. And he'd put the oranges in there, and if there was too many oranges, it would go like that. It'd be like, that's too many. And he'd take two out, then it would go up. He'd be like, no, he'd put one back, and it would even off. And he would take this metal thing, and he'd put it in a paper bag, and he'd whisk it over with his hands, and it would go in the basket. And then your mum would be like, yeah, and a pound of oranges as well. And that was how it would work. And some of you can Google it. What it was is that weight would tell you the worth. That weight. See, this is why you need the word in you. Because Jesus has the word in him. And Jesus can say, it is written. And what Jesus is doing, he's weighing what the devil has put in his tray. And he's like, no, this ain't worth it. This ain't worth it. And he says, no, it is written. See, some of you know, if you want to buy a house or you want to look to live in an area, you go on and you find the worth. If you want to buy a car, you go on this thing. The worth, you look at things. Jesus is saying, listen, you can show me whatever you want. The world doesn't tell me what to worship. The word does. I weigh everything by the word. So you got to have your word in you, church. See, some of you ain't reading your word and you think, oh yeah, because I want to get into ministry, so I'm going to have to read the word. No. If we've communicated that to you, I apologize, because that's not what it's about. If you want to live life, you better get in your word. Forget ministry. That's light years ahead from where you are right now. You just got to get in your word, because the devil's going to take you places, show you things. And if you've got no word in you, he's going to put something in your tray and you're going to be like, ooh, this is worth it. Because you ain't got no word. See, without the word... Or should I say, when you have the word, you can see when you're getting skanked. How many know what skank is? There's a few different words. A skank could be a dance. It's a doggy word with somebody. But we're not talking about that type of two skanks. We're talking about when someone has cheated you. I don't know, is that translated over to your generation? Do you understand me? You've been skanked. What would you say? Twanged. Okay, see, look, I'm up to date with the young people now. It's all about twanging. Yeah? Over here, I'm not sure if they're we got all the oldies over here. Yeah. I'm over here. This is another level over here, man. Yeah. We're over here. Yeah, what's going on, man? These old folk over there. They don't know what's going on. Don't worry, I love you guys. Listen, skanked, twanged, you can call it whatever you want. But without the word, when you have the word, you know. Listen, that's a skank. When you have the word in you, you'd be like, no, that's a skank. See, when you don't have the word, you know what you're going to think? It's a bargain. Many of you know the stories of me buying cars. I'm not going to belabor it. I've got to save some of those stories for other sermons. But listen, you go somewhere and you ain't got the word, you're going to get skanked. You're going to think, this is a bargain. See, the Bible shows us in Luke 9, verse 25, what profit is it for a man who gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? See, without the word, gaining the whole world, God, that's a good bargain. But the word tells us, you know, the biggest universal skank of history is Judas. Judas got skanked. Look what it says in Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and he said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" Oh my days. Like, you're with Jesus, the Prince of Life. You're with God in the flesh. And you're saying, "What would you give me?" That's ridiculous. And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought an opportunity to think about his mind. Like, are you sick? Think of what in heaven. They're like, "What are you doing?" They're like, "Okay, we'll give you 5 pieces of silver." "I'm not sure about 5, you know. 5, I can't really do much with 5. Okay, another 5, there's 10. Look, bro, it's got to be way more than that. You're way off. For me to betray Jesus, they start talking about 15. "Look, you're wasting my time. All right, don't go nowhere. 30. What could I do with 30, man? I could buy my wife a dress. Get something for my kids. Yeah, I could do that. I could do that. 30. Yeah, okay, go for it. 1, 2, 3. Thinking that you're getting something while you're selling. Like, Judas, there is no one on this planet that has ever looked at that story and thought, "That was a bargain." Listen, it's so bad what he's done, no one will ever use that name again. The only time, listen, if I said, "Hey, listen, you're a Judas," you'd be like, "What? I never did." You've been so skanked and robbed that even your name means nothing. Now let's get it. Let's balance this off here. Are we saying silver is evil? No. The Bible says, I just told you, the Bible says when he led them out of Egypt, he gave them silver. See, sometimes we clump everything together. Silver is evil. Silver is not evil. When you hear this sermon, I'm not saying riches and desires and ambition is evil. I'm saying selling Jesus is evil. See, it's not what you got, it's what's got you. It's not what you've got, what did you sell to get it? That's what I'm more concerned about. Listen, you may have everything that we think is of some material value, and you're with the Lord, and God is blessing you. And we could have far less, but we're selling Jesus. See, it's not about what do you earn, and what do you earn, and what do you earn, what is she doing, and what is he doing. This is about your worship. What is it costing you? What is it costing you? What is it costing you? Let me close with this. We spoke about the conflict of worship. We spoke about victory in worship. Let me speak about a life in worship. Jesus says this: "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." Jesus is showing us two connections here. What you worship, eventually you'll serve. What you worship, hear me, what you worship, you'll eventually serve. What it means is what you worship, you will become its slave eventually. Remember, the children of Israel went into Egypt willingly. They went into Egypt willingly. Egypt was a good thing. It became a bad thing. Many times we can go into things in a good way and it becomes a bad thing. God opens a door and then it becomes our master. See, I want you to understand, this is not if I'm worshiping something. This is what am I worshiping? Because every human being that is alive is worshiping something right now. We all worship something. And the problem is the world becomes a very hard taskmaster. A very hard taskmaster. I was reading an article, it just came up, popped up on my phone about this actress from Game of Thrones. I don't know who much about her. Sophie Turner, I think her name is. And so it says, British Game of Thrones actress Sophie Turner reveals social media trolls made her think about suicide. I mean, it's terrible, these troll people. Man. I don't know. Are they people? Are they real trolls? What are they doing, man? I didn't even know there's trolls. She should come out of that Game of Thrones, man. She's seeing trolls. No, I'm joking. And it's not funny. I know. Okay, forgive me. But this woman is earning $150,000 a week. $150,000 a week. Listen, I'm not sure. Listen, you can say what you want about me, blood. I'm not committing suicide. I don't know. Am I bad? I mean, I'm 150,000 a week? A week? A week? Not a year. Give it to me a year, hubby. Hey, I'm a troll. Troll yourself. A week is worth millions. You see, the problem is this. I want to say this is that, and to be serious, is that when the world is a hard taskmaster. See, because whatever you worship, I want to tell you this now. Whatever you worship, it will not love you and it will not forgive you. Because only God can do that. See, wherever you start to worship, you start to say, yeah, this is... Remember what we said, worship is value. When you value something above the things of God, that is what you're worshiping. That is what your worth is in. It will not love you, and it will not forgive you. And what I mean by that is that it doesn't matter how much you get, you will still feel like, I got to get more for me to be loved by this thing. Here is this woman is, but because of these few silly people saying silly things, and if you fail, it will not forgive you. Let's say you worship money. It doesn't matter how much money you get. You will not feel loved by it. You will always feel like, just a bit more. Maybe 1,000 more. Listen, you could be earning £100 and you could still worship money. You could be earning £1,000,000 and worship money. This is not an amount thing. But you'll just want more. If I get more, then it will give me that what I want. I feel, yeah, I'm secure now. I'm safe now. My family is secure and safe. Everything is right now. But if you fail, it won't forgive you. You can worship popularity. It doesn't matter how popular you are. As soon as one person doesn't like one thing about you, you will feel unloved because it can't love you. And if you make a mistake and people find out something about you is not right, one hair is off, you found out that you was walking around church and there was a little crisp on your lip, you don't want to come next week. That's it, I'm not leaving, I'm leaving, I'm not going back there. Why? Because it's unforgiving. Listen, you can even make your kids an idol. And it doesn't matter how much you try, you worship these children, you always think, they don't love me more. They need to love me more. Just love me more. More love. Because you will, remember, whatever you worship other than God, it cannot love you. And you will be overly burdened by the flaws and the mistakes you've made as a parent. Because it won't forgive you. Remember, nothing but God can give you that love and that forgiveness. See, this is why I'm a worshiper of God. I want to tell you, there's nothing in this world that can afford my worship. You can't afford my worship. Devil, you can't show me enough to afford my worship. Because, listen, you want my worship? Listen, you can't afford it. Did you die for me? No, then you can't afford this worship. Did you make me? Have you redeemed me? Will you put up with me? Will you save me? Listen, nothing in this world. Do not cheapen your worship. Do not cheapen your worship. Do not cheapen your worship. Jesus says this. Listen, our life is found in our worship of God. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He's saying, I see you're worshiping other things and it's getting you down. He says, come to me. Come to me. I see that you're heavy laden. You're trying. You're like the rodent on the wheel. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. He's saying, listen, I'm not a hard taskmaster. You know the lie of the devil? He wants to switch it around. He wants to make the world kinder than Jesus. He wants to make Pharaoh nice like God and God wicked like Pharaoh. Even when the children of Israel left Egypt, remember what they said after they hit a little thing? Let's go back. That's how some of us can be.
It was easier back there.
No. He's saying this, listen. I'll give you rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I am already loved, church. I'm already loved. I do not serve to be loved. I serve because I am loved. I'm not trying to gain his love. I'll serve. I'll do anything he wants. I'll bow my knee before him. But it's not to be loved. It's because I am loved. I'm already loved. When you're worshiping other things, you're trying to get it to love you. It will never really love you. I worship God because he already loves me. That's the beauty of this. And when I fail, because I do fail, he forgives me. He forgives me. And that is what the beauty of serving Christ and worshiping Christ, that he will forgive you. That means when you flop, there's hope. You worship other things, they're like, yeah, you're a flop. You're a waste of space. You're a waste. You might as well kill yourself now. I'm contemplating suicide. Listen, that's a lie from the devil. There may be people here that you're contemplating suicide, or you're contemplating giving up, or life is too hard, or there's a burden. Jesus is calling you today and he says, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I want to give you rest for your soul. I want to be like Jesus. And when I'm showed all of the things of the world and everything, all of these other things, that I will say this. Listen, devil, gwe, because it is written that I, Courtney, should worship the Lord my God, and him only will Courtney serve. I'm a worshiper of God, and nothing that's ever been created can afford this type of worship. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.